This is the biggest crock of shit I've ever read. Good Lord, in the late 60s and 70s, the butthole was a fancy feast. Who is anybody to think butt-fucking is on the upswing? Every couple except Moorcock and his wife have made whoopee in the butt bob. People are people. Cavemen and the bitches they drug into the caves were pioneering the butt sex and liking it. The ring sting is nothing new. Why does this new generation think they are new to everything? Get in the back of the fucking line with a bleeding rectum bitch. It's all been done before. Sheesh, me and my buddies all put the poundin' to the roundin' back in the day. Some clean, some poopy, some bloody. But unlike the porn chicks, don't choke on the red-brown coccicle after the act. It's right to the sink for a wet rag and some soap and water.
Another one!
Alright, we the best. I'm out.
With Hitler, the more I learn about that guy, the more I don't care for him.
Maybe I could be like an announcer, like a color man. You know how I always make those interesting comments during the game?
Yeah, you make good comments.
The weather is perfect, the field is fast at the Rose Bowl for tonight's ball game.
So me and Joey Dangerously are hanging out right now, a little post-game pod for everybody, and it's just Joey, you know, an amazing game. Huskies win 34-31. They beat Oregon for the second time this season. They win the final Pac-12 championship. An amazing game, so many moments, but there's only one thing I really want to talk about. Isn't Bo Nix wonderful? Isn't Bo Nix incredible? Isn't everything Bo Nix does, even when he's throwing touchdowns or running down the sideline or he's congratulating his teammates or he's sitting there on the folding chair with a towel draped over his head as the final seconds tick off the clock. Never mind what Michael Penix and all them guys are doing. Let's get constant zoom ins on Bo Nix with the towel over his head. What an amazing young man. There's my thought.
I don't hate him anymore.
Oh, I never hated him. I like him.
It's not his fault. It's not his fault. I hate the fact that everything they fucking touch turns to gold. Even a shitty quarterback like him comes from Auburn and looks like... No, he isn't now. He isn't now.
I don't remember who it was. Somebody wrote... Oh, you know what? 37 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions. He's a shriveled dick with the game on the line. I was like, come on. I don't remember who that was.
This is bullshit. This is bullshit to all our fans. First and foremost, 13-0 motherfuckers. 13-0. And it's our justice. It was our fucking prophecy that we win this fucking last championship. We've been fucked over for 32 fucking years. And this is our trophy. No one has this. And you know what else no one has? No one's got 3 fucking wins over that evil fucking empire down in Eugene. No one has that. 3 fucking wins in 12 and a half months. 3 wins. 3 wins. They don't fucking have it. We got them there. We got them at home, and we got them in Vegas. Fuck those guys. Fuck them forever. Fuck Oregon.
All right. And SEC dog wants to be put on the pod, but not tonight. But we will do something.
Hey,
we will do something.
I posted it earlier, like an hour ago. Everyone in the media needs to be called out on this shit that's been pulled over everybody's eyes. This fake fucking news, fake narrative bullshit that's been pulled over. The wool's been pulled over everybody's eyes. Seriously. The better team fucking won today. The better team won in October. Washington's the better team. Oregon has zero excuses tonight. Zero. They got fucking manhandled on the Lions tonight. They got manhandled.
Oh, I mean, you know, there's multiple Duck fans on Hardcore Husky that are coming to the board to congratulate us and say as much. So I haven't seen any meltdowns either. So.
Yeah, you know what? You know, me and Wooly Dude were talking about it. I don't know if they do it because they're in the same conference, but how fun would a Oregon versus Arizona game be in the Fiesta Bowl?
That'd be
fun to watch. Okay, they never played each other. They never played each other, so that'd be a great game to watch. And I would watch it. I'd be entertained by that game.
Oh, I'd watch it. I think it would draw pretty well too.
Yeah. Yeah, but they'll put Arizona in a fucking Holiday Bowl, or they'll screw over Arizona.
Or they'll end up in El Paso or something. But
yeah.
Or no, El Paso is like the fourth place thing. Anyway,
it'd be Alamo Bowl.
Yeah, there you go. But just in case anybody's not fully clued in on what we were talking about there with the media and stuff, as we were, the three of us, you, me, and Wooly Duke, were texting during the game. It's like, I like Kirk Herbstreit and I like Chris Fowler, but it was just like, it was just nonstop Oregon, 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 Oregon. Oh my God. 17-yard completion, Penix to, you know, McMillan, first down, Washington. And look at Bo Penix's reaction, you know, it's like, who can, it was amazing. It was sickening. It was like, great. And I like
those guys. The fluffing. It's not tinfoil hat shit.
No.
They obviously have a thing with Nike or you know, something. This fluffing is... Hey, we know who they are. Fucking that Josh Pate guy. What a tool. What a fucking tool bag that guy is. Obviously paid off by Oregon to just fluff their shit. You got John Canzano, who's obviously cutting a check from him because he used to be anti-Oregon back when they were ruining college football with Chip Kelly. Then you got fucking Wilner, who will never, ever fucking give the Huskies the benefit of the doubt. And I'm sure when he's on with Softy on Tuesday, he's going to have some bullshit missed hold or something he's going to call. Not going to mention a bullshit non-central grounding call. A bullshit PI call. You know, fucking these sports writers, hold them accountable. Fucking call them out. This is, we can't let them get away with this shit anymore.
And then toward the end of the game, it sounds like we're like angry and complaining. We're actually both very happy, and I could tell Joey's tipped a few back, so we're relaxed. We're happy, but we are starting off the
zero
box with the plate.
Alcohol tonight.
Really?
Zero alcohol.
I'm sorry then. I take that back.
My wife caught a really bad cold, which would have had a name 2 years ago. Take it to the tug. So she caught a really, really bad cold like a day or two ago. So I had four kids that, you know, I hauled around. We watched a game at an undisclosed location and,
Denny's.
Yeah. Yeah. At a Denny's. We got pretty loud at a Denny's.
No, but I also wanted to say, though, even at the tail end when they started, like, wrapping – I can't remember if there was still time on the clock or not. I think there was, but it was late in the fourth quarter. And whoever the elderly gentleman is from the L.A. studios or whatever that they kept every time there was a review of a whether something was a fumble or whether his knee was down, and then the guy's like, this is the best – you know, this is the creme de la creme of this wonderful Pac-12 officiating crew. They've done a great job all year. I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
No, they're horrible. You know, and today was probably one of their best games, and they were still horrible. So, I don't know. But I tell you, I can't remember the guy that we've always made fun of because of the fake leg injury, but he made that beautiful one-handed catch in the end zone.
Yeah, because that wasn't Turd Ferguson. That wasn't a great that wasn't like the greatest throw either. So
no, it was all the receiver there. It was a tremendous catch. But the fact that
right.
they were even in that position was because of the refs really sticking it to us, and that one hurt. And then yet still, Michael Penix and everybody, they overcome that. It's really something. And Oregon had all the momentum there in the fourth quarter. They took the lead. You could feel all the energy, but then you look at our guys, and even in the past, you could point to Peterson teams, you could point to Sark teams, you could point to Willingham teams, you could point to Gilbertson teams, even Neuheisel teams at times the last couple of years. You would see us just physically just start to wilt. But you look at our guys, and they're just, like, unfazed. And it's like that scene from Cinderella Man where the guy clobbers James J. Braddock, played by Russell Crowe, and then he's kind of sitting there all happy with himself, thinking that the fight's almost over because he's knocked him down. And then he looks, and Russell Crowe shoots him this look, and then the guy is like, oh, shit. And it was just like that. Great scene from that movie. But and then they come back and they go – and the beautiful thing, Joey, well, there were many beautiful things, but that final drive was something like 6.5 minutes and only left 2 minutes left. Yes, they gave up the quick touchdown after that, but it was a thing of beauty. What did they do there? That was about 80 yards, maybe 8 plays, taking 6.5 minutes off the clock, like that. It was beautiful.
So
and,
good.
And the only thing I had any issue with was that, the throw down the right sideline, which Polk made a gorgeous catch and it worked out fine and stuff. But I think when you're blowing Oregon off the ball and your linemen are doing such a great job with their blocking and their blocking schemes, again, as we've said, what's wrong with dumping it off to your tight end or hitting Dylan Johnson out of the backfield if you want to mix it up and still throw? Nevertheless, I thought Grubb overall did just a fantastic job. That call for the touchdown to the Inglemore grad, Quentin Moore, was a thing, a beauty, where Penix kind of ducks down for a moment, and then he ducks down. I'm like, oh, no, this is going to be a throw to the end zone. And I'm saying that excitedly. And then right on the money to a guy that I don't even know how many catches Moore has this year. I'm guessing no more than two. That was great.
12 plays, 82 yards.
Wow, 12 plays, 12
what
plays.
What a great drive, man.
You know what it reminded me of a little bit? It reminded me of the 2000 Huskies, how they would just wear you down in the final quarter and with these long drives and put it away.
Yeah. He had one catch coming into the game.
Wow, there you go.
Wow. I thought it would have been, four. Not one. I mean, wow.
So think about this, Joey. He had more holding calls against him than catches coming into the game.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. Honestly, when they I was a little irritated when they I know it's the quarterback.
Angry or irritated?
No, irritated. It's a little okay. Irritated when they gave the MVP award to Penix.
Yeah.
Because I thought without Dylan Johnson, they have no fucking shot winning that game.
Correct. And the offensive
Dylan
line.
Johnson.
Yes. That man, he's
Dylan
a grown
Johnson, man. Wow. What a tough son of a bitch. Man, was Mike Leach wrong or what?
Unless he was being sarcastic or something, I don't know. But that's one tough son of a bitch. I mean, he's
oh my goodness. I mean, wow. He's got 961 yards now. He's going to go over 1,000. So that's cool.
And he was not used. Well, he didn't play the second, third, fourth weeks, I think. and it was an inauspicious debut there. Whoever we played at the beginning of the season, it wasn't Tulsa, but it was.
Hey, we are
Boise.
The headline from ESPN is UW tops Oregon to win Pac-12, secure CFP spot. We're fucking in. It's not even a question. It's so real. It is so real. Oh God. I mean, this is just so good. So good.
Isn't that amazing? Now we need to do some shout outs and I'm not even, I do need to do shout outs for people that have sent money in last couple of days, but in terms of player shout outs, Jalen McMillan gets back into the swing of things. I should have the stats in front of me, and I don't, but he had something like 6 catches or 8 catches, or 9 catches, 131 yards. And then Romo Odunze did the thing he always does. He goes over 100 yards, and just everything that's anywhere near him, unless they completely mug him, he makes the catch. You know, Jalen Polk came up big with a couple of big catches and 5 overall. Michael Penix did a good job managing the game. Dylan Johnson was a massive beast. Asa Turner made a difference in the back end of the defense today. The tackling was, there was a 3 or 4 cringe moments, but the tackling was just, this was, it was fun watching the defense at times today, you know? It was really something. And Oregon seemed very stunned at the beginning of the game. I think they were, I'm projecting here, but I think they were believing their press clippings a little bit. And I'm guessing that Lanning was probably, we are going to drag these motherfuckers up and down the field, and they're not even going to know what hit them and all this. And then suddenly they're down, you know?
Oh, I mean, even like Camfab. I mean, hell of a game by him. He's coming up and fucking clocking people, you know?
We looked well coached.
We looked great. There was only the defense just was not on the field that much. It was, you know, it was a lot of classic Oregon, you know, break a tackle and then everybody kind of run into each other and fall over, and it's baffling how that team scores so many points with, you know, not really taking shots downfield, but whatever, they get away with it. And you know, I kept referencing to all my friends. This could bore the shit out of people. It could be a big thud, but I kept saying, you know, and 50 years ago, 1973, okay, Secretariat faced Sham in the Kentucky Derby. And he got Secretary beat him by 2.5 lengths. Okay. So that's what I was referring to. Last year was the Oregon game. We beat him by 3 in Autzen. Okay. This year, you know, you look at it like the Preakness. We beat him by 3 again. Okay. Secretary beats Sham by 2.5 lengths. When the Huskies got up 20-3, I kept saying to everybody, let the fucking pony run, because on the backstretch, Ronnie Turcotte, the jockey, just let Secretariat go. And if you've ever watched the Belmont, the backstretch of the Belmont, Secretariat pulls away, and he wins that race by a fucking mile, you know. And it was just like, you know, finally the better horse got out in front. And I thought, that is what the Huskies are going to do. They're going to get up early. They're going to get up, and we're just going to let them run, and we're going to rip them apart. But now I changed my stance, and we're more like Affirmed, and they're like Alidar. That's another deep horse racing 1978 Triple Crown. So
can't we get back to talking about WWF?
Let's do it. Let's get back to talking about. Well, let me tell you something, brother. Hey, McMillan, top receiver today. Wow.
I know.
Wait, what a comeback.
And again, maybe I'm projecting onto it a little bit, but it seemed like even the first couple of catches today, there was some tentativeness, and then he caught one, that first long one, and then it just felt like, it seemed like it was just like he was back in that flow.
Yeah. And they just replayed, I'm watching ESPN like on mute right now, they just replayed Polk's catch along the sideline.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Uh-huh. What a man.
And all the people that were questioning his manhood and everything and
you know,
telling him he needed to quit football.
He just got in a bad funk for two games. And, you know,
the man's a stud.
I mean, that rain in Oregon State, by the way, shame on the Beavers. I mean, just lay down last week. I mean, I get it. Your coach quits. Your quarterback quits. You know, they obviously knew both of them before the game, but they just laid down last week, you know, get up for Washington in the rain, empty their tanks.
I'm sorry. I'll tell you why I'm laughing in a minute. Please continue.
Okay, great. Okay. No, I'm good. Let me hear it.
Fire the janitor. This is not from our podcast thread, but he just says PM to Derek and it says, says, what type of donation would it take to rename the Duck Refuge to Jonestown? And then he's tagged about seven of our duck friends here. So
you can call it the kid. You can call it the kid village because we're their fucking dads. We're your fucking daddies right now, boys.
And he said, Derek Johnson, I'd hate for this to be misinterpreted as an unserious offer. Name your price. That's funny. The Jonestown. I can't read it. He'd have to send me like $10,000 or something for me to even consider renaming it. I can't name it Jonestown.
I mean, hey,
anyway.
Hey, shout out to our ducky friends.
Yeah.
They don't bother me. I like talking shit to them, but they don't bother me, you know.
Some people got irritated with me at various times when I first put the Duck Refuge up, and then, you know, it hasn't really grown quickly at all, except in recent weeks it is really, you know, jacked up in activity and stuff. But we've got something unique that I don't think there's any other board in America that has something quite like this, where you have your rival with their own little place there. But the common denominator, but the reason nobody would do that, but we could do it, is because the common denominator is that we have the half brain mentality, and they have the half brain mentality. That's why they've been kicked off of EDUC. So
yeah.
So we do have a bond, a brotherhood of sorts, even though a couple of them are kind of retards. But
yeah, well, but, we have a couple of retards too.
Well, we've got a few dozen retards. anyways, it could, and then with both these teams going to the Big Ten together, the rivalry should be very hot and heavy and competitive for years to come. And so there's no reason why that board can't really flourish, but we'll see. So,
yeah,
and we've added a couple of interesting guys even in the last 10 days or so that I got a good vibe from them that they might be around for a while. But in terms of Husky shout outs, have we hit everybody? I mean, we mentioned the offensive line, the defensive line as a whole tackled as well as they've, you know, we didn't see any of these pinball things for the most part. When we did see it, it was the Duck wide receivers that were, you know, leaving a couple of the defensive backs that shall go unnamed in the dust.
They made that big deal about, you know, like Bo Nix, right? You know, that play that Trayshawn Holden made, you know, and that was all the receiver right there.
Correct.
In my opinion. I mean, they're like, Bo Nix, you know, another big play by Bo Nix. And it's like, okay, he made a good throw. He made a good throw, and it was like probably, you know, between like 15 to 18 yards downfield. I'd have to go back and look exactly. But, yeah, it's like he made a good throw over the middle. Should have probably been picked off by it was either Fabiculonin or Hampton, but I think it was Fabiculonin. Then the rest, the last like 70 yards or whatever of it, 60 yards was all Holden. It was all Holden and bad tackling. It was like this is
not necessarily that order.
Like he'll win the Heisman. I thought this at the time. He's not going to win that. Jaden Daniels is going to win the Heisman, but. I thought he's going to win the Heisman, and he like really had no effect on that play. These are the plays he wins the Heisman for, you know.
You know what? There's a tiny
no effect
chance.
On.
I agree with you that the LSU kid probably wins it, and if Oregon had won tonight, then I would say Bo Nix was the favorite. There's a tiny chance that Penix can win it, and I don't know that he deserves
tiny.
It. And I love Michael Penix. He's had an amazing season, Husky Hall of Famer. But again, if we're trying to talk truth, you know, does he really deserve to be the Heisman winner? If he wins it, I think he still has a shot. I don't know
that
he deserves it. But
I would say the best player on the field, like the majority of, okay, so if we had to pick out of the 13 games, who was the best player on the field in the most the? If we had it had an imaginary award, best player on the field.
Rome,
every game. It'd be Rome. Yes, Rome
hands
would be
down.
Our. He's our MVP. I mean, probably I would say at least 7 or 8 games. He's the best player we had on the field.
Absolutely.
I mean.
And Rosengarten's in there too, but he's a line.
I'm not going to deny it. I fucking love Mario. I love Reggie. Rome's the goat.
Oh, absolutely.
Rome's the fucking goat. He's the goat. You know, God, as much as I love those guys, yeah, he's the goat.
And do you even remember any time this year where a ball was anywhere near him where he wasn't being completely mugged, where he didn't catch it?
Yeah.
He catches everything.
You know, and minus the other 2 games. I just said that about Polk, too. I mean, he has some strong-ass hands. You know, that's a good thing about our receivers is you would say, like, maybe McMillan is the, you know, I don't know. He even comes down with some just great catches too. They got 3 receivers with great hands, man. But yeah, going back to Rome, it's you know, if you see one and he's, you know, flashing across the screen and, you know, he reaches out to catch the ball, I mean, you know, it's getting caught. It's like a 90-something% chance.
There's a couple things that I've been disappointed in with the boards, and I don't think this is a bad time or an off time to mention it. One being is that the number of posts that I've had to delete and send a note where people say the ref needs to be killed and the coaches need to be attacked and the players need to be kneecapped and all this stuff. The other part that disappointed me was the number of people that just turned their back on Polk after 2 lousy games, after everything that man has done this year, you know. So I don't want to say from a personal standpoint, but how do I say it?
I think it's half-kidding, but...
at least in the moment with the anger, it's not... You know, if you go back and show them their post 72 hours later, they might go, ooh, that's not too good. But, you know, I mean, come on. This guy has been amazing. And when he made that beautiful catch down the right sideline, it was just kind of – that was extra sweet. Just like, fuck yeah, he's back in the saddle. Penix has all these weapons for when we play Michigan or whoever.
Destroyed my earbuds last night.
Hey!
There he is!
What the fuck?
What the? answer
your text if you fucking know. I've been doing this for a half hour.
I'm so blind, you know.
Well, we've already.
We're just wrapping up, so we'll see you later.
Wait, have you guys really been on for 25 minutes?
Yeah, probably closer to 30 minutes.
What? I'm blind.
Do you think if we said 10, we don't need 10?
I don't care. I don't care. This happened.
Drinking, baby.
This happened.
What are you on now? You're on some
Rainiers.
Like San Juan seltzers. Rainiers. All right, man.
I don't know. I have been spending the last hour and a half trying to explain to people how important this is.
Well, why don't you explain to our rapidly expanding audience now? The floor is yours, Mr. Wooly Duke.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah. Do you got me?
I'm dead serious, though. I'm laughing, but only because there's this pregnant pause. But
I understand and I appreciate it, but no, I've been trying to articulate, and I'm too drunk to articulate, but like... Because I'm a legitimate Mariners fan, there is no comparison. There is no comparison to this to anything. This is
okay,
like
not really.
There is not. This is like Independence Day. And the aliens were going to kill you, and you beat them.
You reach into your bag, and that's what you pull out? You remember that scene in Porky's 3?
There's no comparison. There is no. The Pac-12 was dead, and these people talked, and they talked, and they talked, and they talked, and they talked. And they fucking lost. Like, that's...
All right.
Are you in a bathtub like that?
They're official...
No gurgle jokes out there, people.
Played a song? Their official account played a song. Like, you have nowhere to run. You have nowhere to hide. And guess what? You're torn.
Okay, should we move on to questions?
Jesus Christ. Phone's cutting out. Bad.
So let's move on to questions.
All right, move on to questions.
I need to go. Here it is. Okay, we'll be potting at 10 p.m. tonight. There's already 46 responses on here. So let's see here.
We're pulling an all-nighter, guys. I just opened. Hey.
Why do I have to put the phone down and come back at like 2:30 a.m. and you'd still be on there? And another fucking thing or whatever. So, you know.
I could have cut a serious wrestling promo earlier today.
Grumble has, he wants to know if there's tips on a head start on his tulip garden, something. Okay. Let's see here. What should I care about? Says favorite hotel to stay in before going to the Rose Bowl.
The plan is right now that we're going to go, and I mean, we're probably going to do like an Airbnb or something like that. Wooly Duke's dad got, I don't know, some connections down in LA, so probably going to do something. And another thing, I want to play Michigan so fucking bad in the Rose Bowl. I want the whole country to be rooting for Washington. I want that game so bad. I want that fucking game so bad. And by the way, I didn't fucking run. I didn't fucking hide. I wanted Oregon I wanted Oregon so fucking bad tonight, and I got him. Oh, yeah, and Slickhawk, call out that motherfucker on Twitter. Call his ass out.
Who?
Slickhawk. Remember Slickhawk, the producer from KJR Morning Show?
Joey, I haven't listened to KJR since the post-game show of the 2012 Apple Cup when I said, I'm not listening to Softy, Life's Too Short. and I have not listened to KJR since. So I don't know Slickhawk.
He was a big Oregon fan that, you know, got to pump up a lot of Oregon when he was back on when he was on the radio. He's not anymore. But he goes on Mitch Levy's Patreon podcasts. So,
which I still haven't listened
him.
To.
Fuck him, he can go to the Alamo Bowl. Fuck him.
And where they'll play Florida State or something. They won't play Florida State there, but you know what I mean.
No.
So, hey, our good friend, hey, this is a very good question. He said, best moment of the game, and once he puts up is McMillan first down, more TD, Dylan Johnson just running for the first down and ending it. All of those are just fine. I'm going to say, though, I loved Polk's catch down the right sideline, but all of those are winners.
Yeah. All winners. I mean that last Dylan Johnson run, that was like you've got the greatest O line, you got the greatest D line, all these great talent. By the way, no one can name more than three players on Oregon ever. Never. You can never name more than three players on Oregon. But yeah, Dylan Johnson on 3rd and 9, fucking shoving it right in their fucking faces.
When they know it's coming.
Yes.
That's the amazing thing.
Yeah.
And the entire nation, and I'm not going to sit here and say that I knew Washington was going to win. I thought it was going to be a coin flip. I thought it was 50-50. But the whole nation thought we were going to get plungered, And I'll even say this. Those first three defensive plays to start the game where Nix was 0 for 3, 3 and out, and Herb Street's having a coronary. And it was like, well, it was, but I'm thinking maybe this won't be a 48. I thought to myself, maybe this won't be a 48-41 type of game. Maybe it'll be in the 30s or something. And it ended up in the 30s, but. I didn't know what our defense was going to do out there, and it was just fantastic. So did you officially answer Hayes' question there?
What? I I say Dylan Johnson.
On the final run, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let's see here. And did we talk, Bleach Danis Dog talked about how the Quentin Moore touchdown catch was an incredible call. Did we say that while we were recording or was that beforehand? Did we say that on the show? It was a great call.
I think we said it. It was, yeah. It was a good call.
Having Penix duck down and then it was just, and then you go to a guy, that's right, we were joking 10, 15, 20 minutes ago that he had more holding calls than he had receptions coming into the game. So,
It
makes the biggest catch of his life. And they go to him in that scenario. It's really something, And apparently Tybo Rogers is in the doghouse, and that's why Newton had a couple of carries, I think, early on.
What's up with that? What's up with Tybo Rogers?
I don't know, but as I pointed out in the game thread, as a reminder, he was suspended for the first two or three games of the season, which was never disclosed, and I never heard specific. So,
apparently he might be a knucklehead.
Might be some growing up that needs to be done there. Hopefully we don't hear news hitting the portal or anything, but okay, Bananas and Blondes. Who's already probably smiling, not just from the win, but also because I went ahead and played that horrific Fancy Feast pup rant, which hopefully you won't have us thrown off of Spotify. But he says, though, where does this rank in all-time Husky victories? And then any advice for an erection that lasts more than 4 hours? where does this rank in all-time Husky victories? My God. Well, let's just
okay,
see really
well,
quick.
Well, Rose
I'm a
Bowl.
Little, I'm a bit older than you, so should I start?
No, sure.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll make it quick. 81 win over USC in the rain and the wind. 84
this
victory over Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl. That was pretty big.
Well, this is to go 13-0 into an actual playoff against your arch rival a second time.
You can stick a dick in a fucking dead.
You might.
What?
Hey, Willie, dude.
What?
You know I love you. I think you probably should sleep this one off, and then we'll talk. We'll do another pod real soon. Okay.
Have you ever seen a dead person with a penis in their fucking ass?
What?
What the hell are you talking about?
Jesus.
This is where I got to take the keys away from you and pat you on the back.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow, Wooly Dude. Oh.
We love you, buddy. Okay.
Oh, wow.
You know our listeners are going to be talking about the Wooly Duke drunken meltdown for like the next 3 years.
I didn't know he was that drunk when I left. Okay. I suppose we could edit that out, maybe. That was about 40 minutes. I don't care. That's not my problem. I can keep it. Okay.
Anyway, not to belabor it, but I'll just see here. The 83 win over Michigan with the 2-point conversion. The 90 win over USC. The 91 win at Nebraska. The 92 Rose Bowl. 2000 Miami.
The 2001 Rose Bowl.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. So I don't want to sit here and turn this into a scientific thing or whatever, but I would say tonight is like top six. It's in the top six.
How crazy is it? Okay, we win the 2016 Pac-12 championship to go to the Final Four, and we go way down on the list when putting that championship game, into biggest victories in Husky history. Because we pretty much mauled Colorado that day.
Right, but wasn't there also a feeling that Colorado was an inferior opponent?
They were. They were, big time.
It was almost like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Did you have more to say, or?
No. I think it's just funny that game's just like this forgotten, game.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's kind of forgotten.
Yep, agreed.
And we're all pretty happy after that game.
I was
stoked,
I was in a different place mentally, as you and I have talked about it a bit off air and whatnot, but having Jen Cullen leave makes it a bit easier for me to be a Husky fan, so the timing's really good.
Shout out to Troy Dannon, man.
Yeah, we did have to sit there and watch Jed Cohen on the podium there at the podium with the shit-eating grin in the sundress or whatever.
It's such poetic justice that she goes down to USC and everything's just turning to shit. Oh God! It feels so good.
So she can be the best Jed Cohen that she could be.
Right.
That's what she said. I think it was more of doubling your salary, which is understandable and good for you. But anyways, let me ask you this, and I'm being serious, so people out there might hear me ask you this question and go, what? But does beating Oregon three times in a row and having, or no matter what Oregon does for the rest of eternity, their only two losses from this season will be to us. And balance out the losing to them 10 years in a row?
Well, it was 12 years in a row, but...
10, 12, whatever. Who's counting?
I don't know. If I were them, yeah, you hold on to that 12 wins in a row because you don't have a national championship, you know, to shove in our face, you know.
Yep.
It's right up there. I mean, if you're going
to
trot out,
put to bed.
If you're going to trot out, Kenny Wheaton's going to score. this shit is like. It's like you're our bitch in a 12 and a half month span. You are our bitch.
Well, don't you say that if you're beating a team 49-3, like they lost to Georgia?
I think a year ago. Wouldn't you say that these three losses are more mentally, you know, exhausting on them? The shift.
Yeah, but if you're barely losing to a team that's almost your equal or whatever, is different than saying if you're someone's bitch. Like, we were their bitch to lose 12 years in a row.
There was a lot of things.
And it was more us.
It was more us. Yeah, well, they made great choices by, you know,
of course,
Chip Kelly. You know, and the Huskies made every wrong choice you can possibly make. I mean, and
bringing Willingham back for a fourth year.
They didn't do anything to benefit the fan base.
Nothing.
You know.
In fact,
I mean,
they had success with Bilotti, and they went ahead and. They saw that they had gone as far as they could go, and they kicked them upstairs.
Lanning.
Hey, Willie.
This is bad.
Please don't make me mute you. We need.
He got a couple, but the skin of your fucking foreskin plays, but guess what? It died. The foreskin died.
Okay.
He got a couple.
Oh,
red-headed dude.
Hey, Willie.
Red-headed from Colorado, dude. He caught a couple passes, but guess what? He's still a red-headed loser and lost. Oh, he won real bad.
Hey, Willie.
And guess what? Hey, guess what?
Final thoughts for Bullion. Go ahead.
The center who talked a lot of shit, his ass might die, his grandparents who have already died may have died for how much they got their shit fucking kicked in.
Willie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Willie, let's... I muted him, so...
Oh,
I hate
God.
That. But that's bad. That's Willie, I love you, but we can't. I hate to do that, but I have to steer the ship.
Well, wow. All right.
Something about dying foreskin and.
Yeah. Huh. Okay, let's get back to questions.
Okay, we'll come down. let's see here. Okay. Oh, here's an interesting question from Pineapple Pirate. He says, what if I told you on October 8th, 2022 at 5 p.m. that after our loss to Arizona State, Washington would go on a 20-plus game win streak? Willie, don't make me do it again, brother. So what would be your thoughts there?
Heavy breathing.
So move on to the next question.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I can mute him again.
If you can see my screen, it's my number's there and your number's there, and we have the little active sonar symbol there, and then his numbers shows the times that he joined and times that he departed, and it's just his line of his phone number, then where he's being muted. But anyways, we'll wrap this up here. Gay Thought says, because this is where I said, okay, Joey and I are going to pod right now, and then we'll do another one with Wooly in the near future. And then Gay Thought says, his children spoke and Stalin listened to man of the people. So, wait a minute, did I skip ahead? I think I skipped ahead here, didn't I?
I don't know.
Here's S.E. Dog. Okay. So when we do get together when we reconnoiter with Wooly Duke in another 2, 3, 4 days or whatever, Bananas of Blondes wants to know from Wooly Duke, he wants Wooly Duke to comment on the fact that Tacky is now 0-5 in Washington, Oregon games and that Josh Connerly is 0-3.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Or Dog wants to know how much would Oregon be favored in a rematch, 12, 15? AED says, is it safe to listen with a mouth guard and CPAP machine on? I don't get that one.
I don't know.
Did you read Or Dog's
question? That's funny.
Are you talking about the one about Oregon being favored?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just read that one.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
How dare you read the boards while someone's talking on the podcast? That's what I was accused of last time.
So, I was texting Wooly Duke.
Skip Boyd says, I have a question for Karen DeBoer. Do you think Flanders is a big jerk? Is that a Norm MacDonald reference?
Maybe.
He'll need to like qualify that one. UW Dukebot says, I got my tickets to you.
Go ahead. Skip Boyd's picture?
That's Skip Boyd.
Oh, Skip Boyd. Okay.
I should say, this is like in the Sonny Shackelford spirit. It's not really Skip Boyd.
I won't
reveal anything, of course, but I've had some PM exchanges with Skip Boyd, and he's an interesting guy, and has some good stories from his specific connections with Washington football, et cetera. So, but it's not the actual Skip Boyd, I should say. So, Mutson says, this has to be so big. This win should generate enough excitement for our athletic department, or maybe he needs an athletic director, I'm not sure, to get enough money to keep this thing rolling. We won the last and biggest Pac-12 game ever. Yep, can't argue with that.
Yeah.
And I, as I was saying on the boards the other day, because some people are kind of fretting about DeBoer leaving and could he go to Michigan and all this, and it's like, I'm not really thinking about that right now. Let the season play out, and then we can start wringing our hands. So I think you listened to Grundle, and it's like our good friend Grundle Stiltskin. It's like I really feel like DeBoer could be like 40-0 with 3 national championships, and he wants him fired. So, you know, I don't get it. But
we got a unicorn, man.
We got a unicorn.
Fucking, we got a fucking unicorn, and he shits rainbows, man. It's just glorious. Glorious.
He sells insurance policies out of Centralia, and he shits rainbows, and like a good neighbor. He's 24 and 2 with us. I mean, that's insane.
Okay. Here,
even insane. It's beyond insane.
I didn't want to throw this out there. You know, but I'm feeling
good.
Here
we go.
I'm feeling good. Okay, how many games have we won in a row?
20.
What's the record?
For Washington football, it's like 40 if you count Gil Dobie, and Don James won 22 straight.
Okay, I'm talking to Don James. 22 straight. How many games could we have left this year?
2.
Let's fucking do it.
If we win the next one.
Let's fucking do it. Let's do it.
One at a time.
I've watched every team. I've watched every team. Oh, we can beat Michigan. I honestly think Oregon's better than Michigan.
I would agree.
We can beat Michigan. Now, it's just a matter of, you know, Georgia or Florida State. You know, if Washington went up against Georgia in the national championship, everybody would be rooting for Washington. The whole country would root for Washington. No one would want Georgia to win 3 in a row. No one wants to see the SEC do it.
I think Washington
would win everybody's hearts.
Well, I mean, it's impossible to not like Kalen DeBoer, even if you hate Washington. And it's impossible to dislike Michael Penix, even if you hate Washington. So it's a great thing. So Texas Dog, who also won our fantasy baseball league earlier this summer, he said the team seemed to get their swagger back tonight with a month to prepare. How fucked is Michigan? And also, shout out to Penix with the line, they wrote us off, but we ain't right back. Big
yeah.
Penix. Let's see here. Willinder says, should I buy plane tickets to Houston? Joey says, yes.
Yeah.
1 to 39,000. 1 to 392,831 were taken, says, I didn't get to watch most of the game. Can the three of you do a full game reenactment? I want Joey Dangerously to play Brock Huard, so Bo Nix's balls better be glued to his chin throughout the reenactment. Can't wait. Thanks, guys. You know, we do it, but Wooly's not here. Darn it.
Yeah. Darn it.
And let's see here as we wrap up. And then Dukeville was saying, we just beat Oregon's ass. I need the victory pod. Well, the victory pod you are getting.
It's coming.
Herb, this is Hay, said Herb Street was insufferable, and at the end of the game couldn't help himself but cheer on. The Holden TD was reviewed so that he could put 20 more seconds on the clock for Oregon. Yeah, he was kind of – you almost wonder – and I like Herb Street. But you almost wonder if he had money on the game or something. He was really worried that.
Even
when we had the interception, he's like, wait a minute, you got a bounce. And they're like, the defensive player can go out of bounds and come back in, reestablish himself, and then make the play. Oh, yeah, okay.
How about when Penix was throwing forward and they call it a fumble? I mean, all three of those guys, it sounded like they desperately wanted to be a fumble. It was like, this is an obvious reversal. This isn't even close to a fumble.
And we would say that if it was Bo Nix in that situation, too. I mean, it was, you could see his hand going forward.
Sure.
look, ESPN has had a partnership with Nike for, you know, like 40 years. It's not, that's not tinfoil hat shit. Okay. They have. And they've been, you know, they've been really fluffing Oregon ever since Chip Kelly got there. So, you know, I mean, I can't wait to see what the ratings are, you know, for this game. I bet this game drew massive ratings.
Massive.
Massive.
We were making fun of the Friday night thing, but we were also the only thing going on. So maybe Larry Scott could point
left. Either that or it was either that or New Mexico State versus Liberty.
Right.
Yeah.
According to USMC Hawk, one of our great posters from Arizona, he said that Herb Street referred to us as Washington State during the victory formation. And I didn't catch it. So that's not a huge deal. It's like whatever, but
do that. It's annoying. Does he ever say Georgia State when he's calling a Georgia game? You know?
Correct.
I guess they're SEC, I don't know. And they're not on CBS anymore. Anyways, okay.
So I guess this is probably going to be the last one here. Dirty South Dog asked if dog fans will travel even more to Pasadena than they did Vegas, but I'm guessing probably. But James Cornell says, "Hey,
it's holiday. It's a holiday winter. You know, it's winter break time. I mean, more people could, you know, travel to California during that, you know, during that time. So, yeah, New Year's Day game, Rose Bowl versus Michigan. The stars are aligned.
Isn't that something to think? 1 month from now,
yeah.
And then James Cornell says, "Hey, Derek, I need a shout out," and that's in reference to. In the Oregon State game in the third quarter, he posted in the game thread that's it, the Huskies are going to lose, this team sucks, something like that. And then he did it again in the third quarter of the Apple Cup where he threw in the towel. And then, so then the other day, I don't know if you saw it on the boards there or not, but then he was saying, you know, when the game's on the line, Penix and DeBoer and everybody, they're cool as cucumbers and they're winners and they're going to win. I was like, wait, is this the same James Cornell that was throwing in the towel in the game thread the last 2 weeks? So he said something about PTSD, it cut him a break, and then going forward he's going to believe. And I was monitoring the game thread today, and he did not go in there and throw in the towel at all. So, James Cornell, we salute you, buddy.
Hell yeah. We're mutual fans.
and your uncle was a great player, even though I didn't see him play. But any final thoughts?
Not really. Just we deserve this, Husky fans.
We put up with a lot of shit.
A lot of shit over the last 30-plus years. We put up with a lot of shit. We earn this. We deserve it. And, you know, they tried to, you know, everybody was rooting against us this whole season. We got everybody's best shot when they came in here, and we put everybody down. And, we earned this 13-0. We earned it. And we're tough. We're not a finesse. I don't believe we're a finesse passing team either. I think we're a tough team. I think we're a tough team, and I think that I think we're going to get in this playoff and be the scariest team in the playoff. I don't think any of them want to face us.
Well, you know, you're going to get if you get into the fourth quarter that we everything turns to gold at the end there. Can you, I'll leave you with this thought. Can you imagine what that flight home for the team it would be like tonight.
Oh,
that'd be almost as fun as the game for them, I think.
Oh,
you're with your brothers up there.
I mean, you know, just to, you know, on a smaller scale, like what I was saying after last week, we're watching the videos. We're watching the videos of all of us high fiving and chanting 12-0 to fans. You know, after the game, we were just hanging out tailgating, and we, you know, running into players. And you know,
nice
my
game,
my wife, my wife and I, nice game, pretty boy. And my wife and I and my kids, we were watching the videos on the phone because it was like this is almost funnier than the game. Just this celebration afterwards. Yeah.
Yep.
It was great.
I started laughing because I thought you were going to conjure up an old memory of when Cedar Willie knocked off, you know, Burlingham or whatever. What's the name of Burlington? It was a joke. And then the bus ride home. So that's why I started laughing. I thought we were going to get an Al Bundy there, but we didn't. So, no, your point is spot on. So,
God. No, one of my after we played Linden one time, it was really, it was like probably 20 degrees and we were coming home on the bus. And my friend Greg, he stood up and he said, my coach was like pissed off. We've got our ass kicked. My coach goes, I want everybody quiet on this ride home. I want you to soak in this loss, you know, or whatever. And then my friend Greg stands up and he goes, turn the heater on, bitch. I don't know why I thought of that. Probably the bus ride home. That's funny.
Thank you for listening to the Hardcore Husky Podcast. This show is copyrighted material. In other words, stop plagiarizing our shit, fuckos. So please tell a friend and rate us 5 stars on iTunes, especially you cheap bastards who don't donate. It's the least you could do. Yeah, I'm looking at you, creepy coog. And come join our fun over at hardcorehusky.com. We've got Husky Football, Yellow Snow's Record Shop, and our notorious Tug Tavern, which is a shit show of politics and strange news. And if you enjoy yourself and are ready for the next level of cyber
peyote,
come join Swain's Wigwam. I'm going to have to read this over.
Sway's Wigwam, yeah.
Sway's Wigwam at Navajo Nation's gift to college football. It's also the official private club of Hardcore Huskies. We're talking boobs, guns, and inside information, all for the low fee of $129 a year. Come join the fun. I have to redo that one, but...